You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
He finds himself endeared to a girl who's kind of weird.
The Music of the Stars with Hans Conried. And a whole bunch of other stuff.
Ghostly, up and down my spine, a new sensation crawls. Vastly, ghastly, the way she floats on air and walks through walls. Indeed, she's mostly ghostly. Try to kiss her and she'll vanish into gloom. Mighty, flighty, it's hard to say just when she'll reappear on a broom. Other girls I've known were simply dimpling, just another standard pretty face. But this one haunts me so, I daren't let her go. It's so thrilling, really chilling, when we share a brief embrace. Because she's mostly ghostly. What a mystic kick to have her on my arm. Truly, ghouly, every hour with her's the hour of harm. Yes, every day with her is Halloween.
Here's Alice Pierce. A watery love song.
I'm in love with a creature from the Black Lagoon. Though fate now keeps us countless miles apart, I was stuck to this creature like an old harpoon. But he fled, leaving me a broken heart. How I loved to caress him when I thought he cared. I'd press my fingers to his scaly hide, but he gave up the happiness we might have shared. And in Finn, treading water side by side, oh, I'll never forget. We were splashing along while the band played our song. My water wings were filled with love for him. When upon this slimy bounder spied a young flirtatious flounder and left me there to sink or swim. How I pine for the creature from the Black Lagoon. Though his return is but a futile wish, and I'm left with the echo of our favorite tune and the faintly lingering fragrance of fish. The eel, the heel, the trout, the lout, the cod, the clod, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace. The Chancellor, the late Chancellor, was only partly correct. He was obsolete. But so is the state, the entity he worshipped. Any state, any entity, any ideology that fails to recognize the worth, the dignity, the rights of man, that state is obsolete. A case to be filed under M for Mankind.
Tonight our guest is one of the most gifted and honored writers and producers in television today. The originator of that wonderful world of fantasy, The Twilight Zone. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rod Serling.
Thank you, Harry. It's nice to be here.
Mr. Serling, I'm sure that you've been asked this question many times before, so therefore I'm sure that you'll have an answer for us. Just where do you get the ideas for the far-out things that happen in The Twilight Zone?
Well, Hans, the usual way of writing something for The Twilight Zone is to take some ordinary, average situation that occurs in the world every day and then tone it down a little.
You mean that you think that the things that happen in real life are as fantastic as the things that happen in The Twilight Zone?
Well, look at it this way. Fractured Flickers is on the air, isn't it?
Pretty fantastic. Or it's not very funny, but it's fantastic.
You mean to tell me that the Fractured Flickers, Hans, isn't right out of The Twilight Zone?
Well, we were hoping to keep it a general secret until renewal time. Mr. Serling, with your professional interest in the strange and the unknown, you must follow our outer space program with a great deal of interest.
Well, not really, Hans. You see, for us fantasy and science fiction buffs, reading about today's space exploration is rather like looking at last year's newspaper. After all, Jules Verne had us on the moon 75 years ago. And writers like Henlein and Clark and Bradbury have made space travel sort of a normal means of locomotion.
I had no idea they were so backward at Cape Canaveral.
Well, look at the way they count. But I do think that traveling over interstellar distances is a fascinating way to live. I often do it myself.
You do?
Oh, indeed I do. The things you see, Hans, the alien creatures you meet, the weird situations you get into.
You are speaking of outer space.
No, Hans, inner space. Because no matter how far mankind travels out toward the stars, he'll find greater distances, more beautiful sights, and more frightening creatures inside his own mind.
Oh, I wish I'd said that. Some minds, you know, that I know, it would be a mere sleeper jump in any direction. Mr. Serling, we on Fractured Flickers are very much aware of your continuing fight for recognition and stature for writers on television.
And other media as well.
Oh, yes, yes. And now, as you know, we are obliged to employ several writers on Fractured Flickers. I wonder if you'd care to comment on their work, hmm?
I'm not a professional critic.
Oh, my dear fellow, we're all professional critics these days.
Well, I did look at some of the Fractured Flickers, and I talked to your writers.
Well, that was nice of you. I don't, you know.
Well, I told them the first thing they should do is join a union.
That's a nasty word. The writers' union?
No, Hans, the butchers' union.
This was only fitting, but then, of course, we'd have to buy them some of those little white jackets. Well, Mr. Serling, it's been a pleasure having you in our little soiree, for more than one reason.
What do you mean?
Well, it was comforting for me to discover that you are really a very normal flesh-and-blood creature, just as is everyone else, and that the Twilight Zone and the things that happen in it are purely fictional.
Of course they are, Hans. Well, I see it's time for me to be going, so I'll say goodnight to you and your listeners till next time.
Thank you, and good night, Rod Serling,
wherever you are.
About to take a trip into oddness and obsolescence through a zone whose boundaries are that of imagination. Accompanying him on this journey is the mesmerizing sound of the Twilight Zone.
Manhattan Transfer. And Louis Prima on the Music of the Stars.
In his own twisted and distorted lexicon, he calls it faith, strength, truth. But in just a moment, Peter Vollmer will ply his...
Somebody coming up on his toes. Oh, look, there he goes. Mr. Goals is going to town. He takes his cane, his gloves, and his hat. And like a cat, he hurries down the alley. The moon is bright, and this is the night. Oh, that Mr. Ghost is going to town. He's got a date to do a little stepping. He'll shake his bones to hot saxophone, 'cause Mr. Ghost is going to town.
kisses you, there'll be two holes in your neck. Blow! Blow! My son, the vampire, he will leave you pale. All he does is drink your blood, 'cause he don't like ginger ale. When they see him, people scream and they yell. And they scream and yell, 'cause they're scared as heck that he'll say, blow! Blow! My son, the vampire, he's a total loss. And if you should meet with him, do not drink or eat with him. Run if he takes out his dental floss. 'Cause my son, the vampire, ain't collecting it for the Red Cross. He wants blow. He needs blow. He drinks blow. Doesn't everybody have a glass? It's delicious. Yum, yum. It's blow.
Vampire, my dear. Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, Drac, I haven't had so much fun since I was alive. Just the very sight of you. And all of a sudden my heart sings when I remember little things. Your razor blade against my wrist, the very first time that we kissed. When our lips met, the whole world rocked.
We didn't know our fangs were locked.
Such happiness I never knew.
Oh, I was batty over you.
The night you took me for a drive and softly whispered, drop a line. The bar next to the cemetery.
Our favorite drink, a Bloody Mary.
What happens when you love in vain? Remembering all these little things, all of a sudden my heart sings.
Vampire, my dear, shall we dance?
Like crazy, Drac.
Ghastly, ghostly. Where do you get your makeup? From Pillsbury?
No, man. From Helena Frankenstein. The day I changed my name to yours,
I bought two graves marked his and hers.
The things you did was my face red. You taught me how to smoke in bed. And then you left the gas jets on and flapped your wings and you were gone. Remembering all these little things, all of a sudden my heart stings.
Oh, vampire, we make such a gruesome twosome.
Yeah, spooky. Spooky, lend me your comb.
Are you one of the frightened? Have you ever imagined someone was following you? Caught a glimpse of a strange face in the crowd behind you, and then that face mysteriously seems to be with you wherever you go? Sylvester Dodge had just such an experience. Walk with me a bit, and I'll tell you about Sylvester and his man in the raincoat. Sylvester Dodge was a man like you or me. He worked as a bookkeeper in a Wall Street office, and for many years he was saving for the day when he could afford his trip to Europe, away from ledgers and bank balances and adding machines. Finally, the last week of daily toil approached, and anticipation thrilled his fat little body as he boarded the Lexington Avenue local. The big vacation loomed on his horizon as the reward of a dreary lifetime. It was then that Sylvester Dodge first noticed the man in the raincoat with the curiously shaped umbrella. Something about the man made Sylvester shudder. The man's face was a deathly white, and the hands surrounding the handle of the umbrella were like great claws. The flesh of the fingers were horribly gnarled and ghastly green. Sylvester could not bear to look at him. But even in turning away, he felt the eyes of the man boring into his back like twin beams of awful light. You know the feeling, don't you? Someone who's looking at you, staring at you, eyeing you with such a terrible concentration that you want to scream or cry out, "Stop! Stop!" When the train reached the station, Sylvester rushed from his car like a man released from prison. The man in the subway had shocked him, but then again, you do meet all kinds of people in New York, don't you? And so Sylvester Dodge began the five-block walk to his office. The sun was out, April breezes caressed the stone buildings, and people hustled along with spring steps. But Sylvester had that curious feeling that I mentioned to you. Someone was following him. He felt eyes peering at his back, could feel somebody's interest and attention focused on his rounded body hurrying through the crowd. He found himself walking faster, faster. He stopped for a street light, panting for air. He turned. A deathly white face in the crowd bobbed like a Halloween skeleton and vanished. Sylvester Dodge whirled and raced across the street, his coat tails flying. He stopped again, a block away from his office, and flung a backward look. There was the man in the raincoat, waving his claw-like hand in greeting, the umbrella dangling from the wrist. Something pounded in Dodge's skull. Desperately, he raced the remaining block, fell against the building wall, gasping for breath. He turned. Slowly, fighting for his reason. But no, there was the man with the raincoat, a scant 10 yards away, coming towards him. The ghastly face was smiling, and the umbrella was outstretched, almost as if it was seeking something. Sylvester Dodge pushed out from the wall and left the protection of the building. At that precise moment, the grand piano that was being hoisted to the office on the fourth floor swung awkwardly on its pulley, the rope snapped, and its great weight crashed to the sidewalk, pinning Sylvester Dodge to his death. So you see, poor Sylvester tried to run away from his fate and dodged in the wrong direction, all because he had the silly notion that someone was following him. Well, I'll leave you here, my friend. Huh? Well, you don't think my face is so awfully white, do you? Oh, I'm so sorry. I seem to have dropped my umbrella. Would you mind very much handing it to me?
Late in the evening, out in the square, a man in a raincoat standing there. laughing eyes. We smiled as we climbed on the old streetcar. I blushed when he asked, "Are you traveling far?" The next time we met, the sun shone all day. We walked and we talked till the evening was gray. He took me out dancing, dancing till dawn. No happier couple had ever been born. I felt like a queen and he was my king. He borrowed some money to buy me a ring. But I'm still alone. The cards are all down. He's taken my money and skipped out of town. And now when I pass the place where we met, I'm wondering if I can forgive and forget. Though bitter is my heart and foolishly proud, I still keep on looking when out in a crowd for a man in a raincoat standing there with laughing eyes and dark brown hair.
That's Lita Rosa from England.
I told you not to let Mom and do the introduction. Now, come on. It was.
Do you?
I think she did a good job anyway. Well, ladies and gentlemen, October 31st is just a few days away, and people throughout the United States now are preparing for the big day, which, of course, is Halloween. Now, you remember Halloween, don't you, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, boy, yeah. Do I remember
Gee,
Halloween.
You know, I remember Halloween when Mom would give me her great big old pillowcase, and I'd go out and get it all filled with candies and cookies and goodies and nickels. And
now I remember.
Big Newtons.
Now I remember Halloween, because Mom gave you... gave you a pillowcase for a lot of things to put in. She gave me a sock. A sock. You sure can't put much candy and stuff in a sock.
Well.
One banana and you're through for the whole thing.
Fills a whole sock.
Come on, everybody, fill up my brother's pillowcase with candy and money and toys and stuff and put a jelly bean in my crummy sock.
Don't put a banana in it because I can't get any jelly beans in there.
Come on, this is a happy holiday.
Boy, I had tiny feet, too. Besides, those socks were your old socks. You wore them for a month. Mom said, here, take these rotten, dirty socks. Put something in it. It's no fun only having a sock when you had a pillowcase.
Are you through?
Well, you
are you through? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Halloween is here once again, and for those of you who are not familiar with it, I would like to briefly go over the story, the history of Halloween, how it originated.
I'd like to briefly go over the story of Halloween and how it came around.
How come you always get to tell a story?
Do you know the story of Halloween? Do you know it?
Everybody knows the story.
Don't generalize, Tom. I said, do you know the story of Halloween?
You don't think I know anything.
Yes or no? Do you know it? Do you or don't you?
You
Come
think
on.
You know it all just because Mom gave you a
okay,
pillowcase.
Okay. Okay, smart mouth. Tell the story of Halloween. Go ahead. Tell the people the story of Halloween. Be my guest.
I'm thirsty.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you're thirsty.
No. I don't need it. I don't need any water. I'll just tell the story, okay?
Yeah, just go ahead.
The story of Halloween. By Tommy Smothers. The story of Halloween. Once upon a time, many years ago, on a rainy and windy night, there was an old haunted house. And in this haunted house, there lived a wonderful little boy. A boy who would wake up in the morning and see his shadow and know that spring was here. A boy who would walk a mile to return a penny.
Halloween.
Okay. And this boy would also split rails, and he never lied to anyone, not even the time that we all remember when he chopped down the cherry tree. And because of this, when the little boy's birthday came around each year, everyone in town would run out and search for colored eggs. And they'd get painted... And they'd give painted hearts and unleavened bread, which they would send to their... They send us their hearts and their unleavened bread to their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they had lots of fun.
Such a deal.
And then one day, when the fireworks were going off, everybody ran in their houses and had turkey dinner with cranberry sauce and stuffing and
candy,
candy yams. And then the war ended. As good as reason as any. The people cheered, and the mothers and fathers received gifts from their sons and daughters, and everybody wore green because they found out the world was round. So they voted. They voted to grab their noisemakers and horns and drink champagne and really get drunk. And they, at exactly 12 o'clock that night, while Guy Lombardo was playing this beautiful song, "Should old acquaintance be forgot?" And sure enough, they never did forget. They all ran to their windows and looked, and lo and behold, as they looked out the windows, they saw a star in the east. Yes, I'll get to it. A single star in the east, and it came closer. And suddenly they saw three wise guys on camels. Three wise guys on camels approaching a barn, and they were carrying, these three wise guys were carrying paper bags. One of them had a sock. And they had these gifts that they had received from other people. And as they approached the barn, they could see from the windows a warm light glowing. And they walked to the front door of the barn and knocked. And when the door opened, they looked inside, and with faces that were ecstatic, they exclaimed, "Trick or treat!"
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, does, yes, indeed, in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch. 'Cause there's no nicer witch than you.
Oh, Pongo, it's her. It's that devil woman.
Oh, must be Cruella, your dearly devoted old schoolmate. Cruella de Vil. That's it.
Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh,
to
Roger.
See her is to take a sudden chill. Cruella, Cruella, she's like a spider waiting for the kill.
Roger,
look,
she'll
out,
hear you.
Cruella de Vil.
Let her in, Nanny.
Anita, darling.
How are you?
Miserable, darling, as usual. Perfectly wretched. Where are they? Where are they? For heaven's sakes, where are they?
Who, Cruella? I don't...
The puppies, the puppies. No time for games. Where are the little brutes?
Oh, it'll be at least 3 weeks. No rushing these things, you know.
Anita, you're such a witch.
Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will. To see her is to take a sudden chill. Cruella, Cruella de Vil. The curl of her lips, the ice in her stare. All innocent children had better beware. She's like a spider waiting for the kill. Look out for Cruella de Vil. At first you think Cruella is a devil, but after time is worn away to shock, you come to realize you've seen her kind of out, watching you from underneath the rock. This vampire bat, this inhuman beast, she ought to be locked up and never released. The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella de Vil. To take a sudden chill. Cruella de Vil. Curl of her lip, ice in her stare. All innocent children here better beware. She's like a spider waiting for the kill. Look out for Cruella de Vil. At first you think Cruella is a devil, time is war with a shot. You come to realize you've seen her kind of eyes watching you from under a rock. This vampire bat, inhuman beast, you ought to be locked up. Now evil even a hare's toothache. And like nothing you ever seen, she's the Dean of Mean. She's got some doggone bad intentions. I mean, let's face it, a person like her could really ruin your whole day.
There's Bob Lovering trying real hard to sound like Louie. Nobody can. But Louie. Gordon Jenkins in the orchestra.
The other night, about 12 o'clock, I thought I'd go downstairs just to check the lock. When I heard something in the house, I don't mean a mouse. I swear they was spooks, spooks, spooks. I know they was spooks, 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 spooks. I couldn't move, just stood and stare. I never was so scared. The first spook spoke and I heard him speak. He said, "What's there? Go make the back door squeak. We'll tease the cat and hound the pup and raise our spirits up." Oh, Lord of them spooks, spooks, spooks. Those scary old spooks, 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 spooks. You don't have to take my word, but I heard what I heard.
The next spook spoke, he said, "Suppose we make the faucet start to drip and make the shutter shake. You let me know just what you want.
This is my favorite haunt.
Beware of them spooks, 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 them mischievous spooks, 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 spooks. I hate spoofing, man, I mean that I've seen what I've seen."
A big spook spoke, he said, "Spike, my son." He said, "I'll show you how to scare up some fun. But next time when you wail, see here, you make it loud and clear. Watch out for them spooks, spooks, spook of those nasty old spooks, 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 spooks. Maybe you don't think it's so, but I know what I know." The last spook turned to his spouse and frowned. Said, "I thought I told you to wait in the ground. But you look awful cute tonight. In fact, you look a fright."
He's talking about spooks, spooks, spooks. Real genuine spooks, 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 spooks.
No use to putting up your dukes. You just can't fight to them spooks. I'm cutting out of here, man. I don't dig this job. No.
Wait for us, wait for us, wait for us, wait for us.
Music of the Stars. Stick around.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
With all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw,
a plowing through the ragged skies and a buckler
he
draws. When do I come in, old timer?
In this song, it don't matter, partner. Go ahead, sing.
Their faces got their eyes whimpering.
Here's the kid from Cudahy, Vaughn Monroe.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once the mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. The ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Ghost riders in the sky.
Stick around for news. Such as it is, we'll be back for another hour on the music of the stars. Yee-haw.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.